Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
All right, welcome back. I've got lots to share. Ready? Here we go. The cautions I've expressed and others have about Bitcoin. Ready for the latest on Bitcoin? I mean, you know, this is almost like a fiction novel. So the bankrupt currency dealer, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Mt. Gox. Is that right, Lisa? Gox? G-O-X? Yeah, Lisa says Gox. Lisa runs the board here. She's my technology director. So she knows about some of these internet things better than I do. But anyway, so virtual currency dealer Mt. Gox finally had some good news for customers who had seen 750,000 Bitcoins lost from their accounts. Remember when you heard about this in the news? Turns out some 200,000 missing crypto assets were hanging out on a lost hard drive somewhere. So, and this is a report coming out of Jeff Mackey that is on the Yahoo Finance page. He said that in this discussion on the video with the founder, Mark Karpeles, K-A-P-E-L-E-S, Karpeles. See, they said that they found these 200,000 coins worth about $120 million, okay, allegedly were spotted online by some of the customers in the Bitcoin logs recently after Mt. Gox said they had been lost. So on March 7th of 2014, Mt. Gox Company Limited confirmed that an old format wallet, which was used prior to 2011, held a balance of approximately 200,000 Bitcoin, said the company in a short statement on Friday. Are you kidding me? What in the world is all of that? So, if you needed a reason to stay away from this stuff, there you go. I was lost and then I was found, and I'm a Bitcoin ones and zeros on a hard drive. Give me a break. Wow, crazy. Okay. Speaking of stuff that makes me very, very suspicious, Counting Today reports, let's see, where's this from? The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, who often is maybe not favorite guy in the room, is warning. Doing a good thing here. He's warning taxpayers to beware of phone calls from individuals who claim to represent the Internal Revenue Service. But in reality, they are trying to defraud them in what is said to be the largest scam ever, trying to get taxpayer information. It's the largest scam of its kind that we have ever seen, said the Inspector General, J. Russell George, in a statement. He noted that the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, that's a heck of a name, had received reports of over 20,000 contacts and has become aware of thousands of victims who have collectively paid over $1 million as a result of this scam. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. If you see a call on a caller ID or somebody says they're calling from the IRS, not likely. Okay. The Inspector General for the IRS said to heed the warnings about sophisticated phone call scams. He said that the claims tell people that they owe taxes, they got to use a prepaid debit card or a wire transfer, so on and so forth. And the IRS does not, and I'm sure it's somewhere in this statement or report they said, but they don't call and say you owe us money. You know, the first thing they do is they send you a letter that you don't want to ever get, but they send you a letter nonetheless that says, hey, we see something wrong with your tax return. We think that there's an error. We think you owe this. Respond with the following or send us your check. But it's there's in these letters the IRS sends you, I know personally because I forgot something one year. It was an innocent oversight, I promise, okay? And I had left something off that just came in late, and it somehow didn't get included on the return. And they said, we think you left this off. You need to pay it. Send us a check. And by the way, you owe us some interest. Okay. That's how they handle it. They don't call you up and try to get your money over the phone. So be very careful. Be very wary and just don't do it. All right. What else do I have for you? I've got a lot of stuff here in this stack. Well, let's do this. Let's grab a break. We'll come back, talk about master limited partnerships. And where there is return, there is risk. So be careful and stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back. An area of concern, master limited partnerships. Risk mount for retirees and master limited partnerships, also referred to as MLPs, according to Financial Advisor Magazine, reporting on a Bloomberg News story. So the concern is that from some quarters is that the master limited partnerships are can produce attractive returns, but you have to be careful. They can be very complicated, and they just have lots of complexities. I've looked at these multiple times, and most of the time I'm not comfortable with recommending them as part of a portfolio. So there are lots of aspects to it that if you don't understand it, when somebody says this is something to look at and you can't explain it to somebody else, then maybe it's not the best choice. People made a lot of money in them, but they may not be as safe, and that's the underlying message that I received myself in reviewing this and reading the full article. There is risk, and you need to be careful with that risk. Okay, another story that I've been wanting to also share from Bloomberg. Get this, a Morgan Stanley broker and the managing clerk at a law firm were arrested on insider trading in a scheme that said authorities netted $5.6 million in illicit profit. A managing clerk at a law firm in New York was accused of stealing confidential data on 13 corporate transactions and then tipping off a middleman who passed it to a broker over at Morgan Stanley, who had actually started this back when he was with Oppenheimer. And so they had this whole scheme where they would meet at the park or in different places, and they would hand off the whatever type of acquisition might be made. It looks like what happened is that there would be a potential acquisition of a company, and this is non-public information. And so the tipster would let the broker know through the middleman that this was going to happen. And so obviously the broker could then go and buy these companies before they were acquired and get them at a pre-acquisition price. Often in an acquisition, the price is higher than the current value by 10, 20, 30% or more. So this is something that kind of struck a nerve when I saw it. And because this hurts everybody, you know, they're buying it from somebody else and they're making money that they really shouldn't. So there's some concern there. So what happened? There's some victims. The victims include the corporate clients and ultimately the investors in these companies. I mean, that's what's going on here. So but it's being prosecuted. The case says, and there's several people involved. So that's not saying it's Morgan Stanley's fault. Morgan Stanley and Oppenheimer, the companies, are responsible for their brokers and their conduct. But that's definitely some inside trading deal going on. Over at Social Security, ready for this? Social Security. This is a complicated subject. For example, when do you take your Social Security? Do you know the best time to take it? At what age? 62. 65, 66. Wait till 70. Well, don't expect to get a lot of help from Social Security. The Social Security Administration has lost 12% of its workforce since 2011. That's 11,000 employees. That's a lot of people. And they're probably not going to be adding a bunch more. But Social Security is being asked a lot of questions by more and more people because we have the Jones generation. Was that it, Lisa? Was it the Jones generation? Generation Jones. That's it. Generation Jones is the group of people that are right now, the oldest is about 60, and they've got lots of questions about Social Security, and there's 53 million of them. Often they refer to as part of the baby boomer generation, but they're actually their own generation. And so they are going to be asking lots of questions about when do I start Social Security? Well, there's going to be a lot of people calling Social Security Administration and maybe not getting help. So it is up to you, maybe working with your advisor, to figure out the best time to take Social Security. And there a lot of push. You may have noticed that you don't get that statement in the mail anymore. Everything's being pushed online. You need to go to the website. And there's not a lot of really, from what I've seen, it's really kind of hard to figure out what's going on. And there's the increase in Social Security Administration's workload is expected to increase, as I said, substantially. But they've also got a lot of their workforce is expected to retire. So if you're trying to figure out when you're taking Social Security, you need to do your own research or find an advisor that can guide you because it is not a simple decision. It's very individualized, and we'll be having more on this on an upcoming program. Okay, another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. So, a couple other subjects I want to get to. Let me do a quick rundown of the market year to date. You know, I love to do that. You know, I like to go around the world. So let me jump over here to my Wall Street Journal handy dandy recap of where we are year to date. Here we go. Let me open it up here on my desk and we'll talk about it. I'll talk about it. You'll listen to the update for the year to date. So basically, here's where we are. Year to date through Friday, the 21st, Dow Jones Industrial Average are off about 1.5%. We didn't have much movement on Friday, so 1.5% year to date is the negative for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, so off a little. I've commented on previous shows about a divergence between the NASDAQ and the S&P. Remember, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is a 30 companies representative of really the large, really large companies, the mega caps we call them. The NASDAQ, which tends to be technology heavy, is up about 3.5% year to date. S&P 500 up about 1.3%. Mid cap 400 up about 3%, and small caps up about 2.2%. I've talked also on previous programs about the importance of looking at diversification, spreading your money out, mid cap, small cap, large cap, and the like. Around the world, let's go around the world here real quick. What are some of the countries that I've mentioned lately? Italy, still the standout. Up 11% roughly year to date. That's a strong number, and we're not even all the way through March. If they did that all year long, they might make a run at Japan's record return last year that was over 50%. I'm not going to expect that, but it's fun to talk about. All right, what else is going on? Other notables in positive territory: Canada up 5.5%. Belgium, we don't talk about Belgium very often, up 5.2%. Israel up 4. Who else has got some good numbers? Well, that's all the big ones I see. Negative territory. Brazil still down 8% year-to-date. Mexico off 7%. Who's the one that really is hurt? Yeah, Japan. I mentioned Japan, of course, being strong last year. Bit of a pullback this year so far, off about 13% year-to-date. Hong Kong off 9. China still having challenges, off about 6%. Australia off about 1%. South Korea off 4.5%. So those are your major market activities. Just a recap, where are we with some of our other key data points? The prime rate, still around 3.25%, still very low by historical standards. So if you're looking to get a loan or do a mortgage, now's the time to take a hard look at that. Now, I don't personally think that the long-term interest rates are going to jump up really fast, but they are going to go up. The short-term rates are going to be more of the, I think, going to stay a little bit, stay lower longer. So the short-term rates, the rates you lend the bank and they give you money on your CD and then they turn around and lend it out to businesses or they use it for prime, I think those are going to stay lower longer. The longer-term rates are all tied to this whole Federal Reserve policy, and we're easing up on our bond buying, which they've been talking about doing. They've been cutting it about $10 billion a clip. And then also, they've talked about letting that those rates float up. So taking some of the pressure off of the bond buying will definitely do that. So don't be surprised to see, as that occurs, the mortgage rates continue to creep up. They already have gone up a full point from last summer. And five-year CDs, as a relative point, five-year CD annual yield average from bank rate is about 1.3%. So you've got the overnight loan rate, the federal fund rate is about 0.25%. The five-year CD is about 1% higher than that at a 1.25%, 1.3%. And then the prime rate, if you've got a mortgage tied to the prime rate or you're thinking about a mortgage tied to the prime rate, is about 2% higher than what they're lending out at 2% of versus what they're getting from the borrowing the money at from the CD buyer. So it's 0.25%, 1.25%, 3.25% is kind of how it stacks up. They can borrow from another bank or the Federal Reserve at 0.25%. That's what a bank can do. And they can turn around and they can use that money. They can also borrow from a CD buyer at 1.25% for a five-year deal. And then they can turn around and lend it at 3.25% and work off of about a 2% spread. And that's typically the range of spreads and how that works. Interesting stuff. I know you share my desire to look at this and understand it, and it's just very exciting stuff, isn't it? All right, another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back. So let's get to some other news in the news, other stuff that I ran across you might find interesting. Of course, all the talk of late has been about you can't turn on the cable news without seeing all of the discussion about the airlines. And it's not really a financial topic, but it seems that that's all the cable news shows seem to focus on. It's 24/7. But there are other things happening around the world, and we try to keep track of them, especially as it relates to your finances. And I had a couple of stories I've been following. One of them, I mentioned the Japanese index being down year to date, about 12%. Well, foreigners are fleeing Japanese stocks, according to a Wall Street Journal report, and that's been pushing their stock market down from its biggest gain that it had in 2013, which was a 40-year high, by the way. So foreign investors have been selling Japanese stocks at the fastest pace in almost a decade. So the question, obvious question, is that mean should you bail too? I can tell you in our portfolios that we manage at my company, we're maintaining an allocation in Japan as part of a global diversification. And it may be that that is very, very well served as things turn. A lot of folks, though, the data shows a lot of worry about the country's growth rates and that they won't be able to follow through on the promises by the government to spur economic activity. And Japan has had challenges for a long time. And so there's been increasing bets by hedge funds and other types of investment outfits that are saying, you know, we just don't think that the Japanese stock is going to grow. In fact, they're betting against it. And so that's been an issue. So this will be something that we'll monitor. My opinion, it's the same about some of the developing countries around the world. some of the smaller ones, that it's difficult to predict and or pick the perfect moment to get in or get out of a stock. You know, okay, I see Japan's off 12, so should I cut my losses and get out year to date? I had a really good gain last year, or should I, what should I do? And I had a client ask me this the other day. He said, you know, I see that the market is going to, you know, looks to be off a little bit, and should we go to cash for the moment? And he asked that question about a day before the market came back up over the preceding or succeeding days by another 300, 400 points. So the day-to-day timing is very, very difficult. You can expect it to have a heartbeat, as I refer to it, up and down 1%, should not worry you at all. And if it does, then you should not be in the market. That's my opinion. I'm not being, you know, chastising or scolding or preachy. It's just the nature of the beast and how I observe the market that it's going to go up and down 1%. So when you hear me say, hey, a flat market, and it's only up 0.25%, I mean, that's really flat. We might need to get the paddles out and shock it, because that heartbeat's not pretty faint. So a 1% or so fluctuation is routine and normal. What it is we're used to the points being kind of the measure, and it's much more important to look at the percentage instead of the points. If you see the Dow down, let's say 240 points, that sounds like a big number, right? Wow, 240 points. That's at today's market numbers, when you've got the Dow at 16,000 plus, what is that, 1.5% or so? It's a little bit bigger than that normal heartbeat I talk about 1%, but it's not catastrophic. And the other thing I would say is ignore the headlines. I've had so many headlines lately. Here you go. Ready? Here's a headline for you. One of my clients dropped this off and said, David, take a look at this. Warning, stocks will collapse 50% in 2014. That's by Newsmax Wires. And of course, the story goes on to talk about how, you know, everything's going to fall apart. And almost always when they have this doom and gloom, if you go and look and read down further, they'll cite a bunch of different stories and studies. And then they say, well, what are they after? Well, this particular publication is selling a newsletter. So they're saying it's really bad and it's really scary, and you better subscribe to our newsletter if you want to survive and make it through the end of the day without falling off the curb and busting your head, right? I mean, that's the way they make it sound. So you can't go by the headline story. You got to read it and see what the details are. That's my opinion. And the other question I get sometimes, and this is very good. The market's doing X, David. It's up this, it's down that. The market's up 10%. The market's down 10%. What are you doing about it? Is there anything? The market pulled back 10%. What do we need to do? What are we going to do with our portfolio? Nothing. And when I say nothing, here's the answer. The job of an advisor, and this is opinion, but a lot of advisors work this way. The job of an advisor is to keep you in good investments, quality investments, and not necessarily always the top performing fund, because that requires the luxury of either hindsight or foresight, which hindsight's easy, but you can't really act on it to change your prior performance. Foresight is, well, it's hard. So the answer to that question is the job is the same whether the market's up 10 or down 10. So if we experience a period of time where, say, the market jumps up 10% over a 3 to 6 month period, that would be a really nice gain for the market. The job of the advisor is the same as if the market went down 10% over the same period of time. And if you have an equity portfolio, meaning you have your money invested in stocks, either directly in individual stocks, or you have your money invested in mutual funds that invest in stocks, you're in the market. And let's just assume for the moment it's 100% in the market. It's a growth portfolio. I didn't say reckless. I didn't say rolling the dice, but you're in a diversified portfolio, but you're mostly in equity. The job is the same. Stay diversified. Stay in good quality stuff. Keep your expenses low. Monitor performance. Look at how you're allocated. And check the Morningstar ratings. Make sure you're getting good return for the risk you're taking. Morningstar updates those Morningstar reports and Morningstar rankings on a monthly basis. So track these things or hire an advisor to do it and stay on top of it and monitor. If you review your statement every month, you don't have to call your advisor every month and they don't have to call you every month, but look at what you've got and what's going on and monitor it. But the job is the same, whether it's up or down 10%. Okay, that's all the time we've got. Tune in next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.